Good morning. This is Sunday Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums, and with me is Chaim Goodman Strauss.
Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Chaim. He's a math professor at the University of Arkansas. Last Sunday, Chaim came in and started telling us about the theory of indifference, the
principle of indifference.
And so you brought out four cards,
right?
Two red tens, two black tens,
right?
You know, the normal cards in a deck. And then gave me two pennies. You put the cards face down and said, what were the odds that I could take those two pennies and put them on two cards that were the same color?
That's right.
You didn't specify. I didn't have to go both black or both red.
And we gave three different answers, basically. Way of reasoning, two and three times would be the same color, because you could have black, black, red, red, or red, black. Or maybe it was 50-50, because if you put the first one down and then the second one, you could have black on the first, black on the second, or black, red, red, black, or red, red. And that would be two out of four possibilities. And then you actually gave the right answer, but I wasn't going to exactly say it last time. So what was your...
Well, I was being a bit more pessimistic, because I said, okay, I have put a penny on one of the cards.
Right.
Say that's black. Okay, now I have three cards left, but only one of those three will match me up.
That's right.
So I would say it's only a one in three chance that I'm going to get,
it right. There are 12 ways, really, that you could have done it. Thinking it that way, there were 12 ways to do it. You could put one down in one of four ways, choose one of the four, and then there were three choices for the second one. And of those 12, exactly four of them
are going to work out.
Are going to work out, right.
Eight are going to not.
Eight are not going to work out.
And for the record, we've kept them. I went black, 10 of clubs there, and 10 of diamonds.
Didn't work out again. So that's the principle of indifference gone bad. The first two ways, where we were sort of assuming that all three of those possibilities were equally likely, or all four of those were equally likely. They're not.
Now,
and that was the fallacy.
Yeah, and here is where logical thinking can help you. You could be, you know, walking down the street, some guy's got his little table set up, and he explains it to you in a way that it's 50-50.
Right.
And you think, okay, well,
sure,
I got a shot.
Right.
When in fact, it's only one in three.
That's right. So
odds
actually
are in house favor.
You should set up the table down on Dixon and get to work, make some money.
That's why you call it a sucker bet.
That's right.
Because
this is very much a sucker bet.
If I was to do that, say on Garrison Avenue in downtown Fort Smith, I would lose occasionally.
Right.
But if I went the whole day, I'm going to take in much more than I'm going to lose.
You're a fast runner?
I can run for a long distance, not so much fast.
That's good enough.
Next sucker bet.
Okay. What I've done here, Kyle, is I've divided a bunch of cards into four piles.
Playing cards, yeah.
Playing cards, and you don't actually know anything really particularly about these.
No, it looks like they're each a pile of five cards.
Each a pile of six cards,
six
actually.
Cards, okay.
And you can pick a random card out of your choice of any one of these piles.
So I've got 24 cards here in total.
That's right.
Four piles of six. Okay.
And then I'm going to pick a random card out of a pile of my choice.
Okay.
And whoever gets the highest card wins. If we tie, we'll just do it
over
again.
Okay. Well, I will go from the third pile.
Okay.
Okay.
And I will go from the... Let's make sure these are all shuffled up. And I will go here. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
King.
I have a seven.
Ah.
So you win.
Okay, let's try it again. Now, so the fourth pile actually maybe has better cards in it.
Okay, well, I'll go with the fourth pile.
Okay. Be sure to shuffle those up. I think we... Okay.
Okay, I've got one.
I'm going to go with the first pile.
Okay.
Now, I might lose, you know, occasionally.
Sure.
But just occasionally.
Sure.
Okay, ready?
Yeah. I got a five.
A queen. So maybe the first pile is better than the fourth pile.
You know what? No one's gone to the second pile. Can I go to the second pile?
Sure.
Okay.
Remember, you started out with the third pile. That
yeah.
seemed to be the losing one. I'm going to go for the third pile this time.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I have a two.
I have an eight.
So you won again.
So now what's weird, actually, it was a little less, you know, I wasn't guaranteed of winning every single time, but
right.
I would have won in the long run. No matter which pile you picked, there was a better pile to choose from. But that's weird, because actually pile one wasn't as good as would have been beaten by pile two in the long run on average.
Mm-hmm.
And pile three would have beaten pile two on average. Four would have beaten pile three, and pile one would have beaten pile four.
Because you've stacked the deck.
Yeah, but think that's really weird. How can which of these is the best pile?
Happen? Because I picked in three different piles each time, and each time I lost.
That's right.
How'd you do that?
So this is kind of a really weird paradox called non-transitivity. That is to say that it's not necessarily true that if A is better than B and B is better than C in some sense, then A has to be better than C. You can actually think of it like this. Suppose that you really like pie and your favorite restaurant has apple pie, blueberry, and
pumpkin.
Pumpkin. But they only have two at a time. Mm-hmm. So one day you go in and they have apple and blueberry, and you really like apple better than blueberry. That makes sense. Sure. And so the next day you go in and they have blueberry and pumpkin. But given those two, you really like blueberry better. But then it's actually perfectly logical that you could go in on some day when they have pumpkin and apple, and you like pumpkin better than apple.
You just sit in the pumpkin mood?
Yeah, just in the pumpkin mood, or just between those two, you know, somehow. You know, maybe it's the particular flavor or something. And so we often think of like choices as sort of being arranged in some linear way, some linear order of preferences, but that can happen, that it doesn't actually have to be linear at all. And this actually is really important in sort of various kinds of branches of economics, for example. There's something called Arrow's paradox, which is really kind of amazing.
Arrow as in A-R-R-O-W?
Yeah, as in the last name of Kenneth J. Arrow, who won the Nobel Prize in 1972 for realizing that if you have like a voting scheme where people express preferences, say for what pie they like, that you can actually, he came up with a list of five reasonable things that should be true. For example, that no particular voter's preferences should count more than any other particular voter's preferences. Or that we should maybe just rank, that the most any voter should be able to do is list in order, rank their preferences in some way. And he realized, amazingly, that these five reasonable conditions were completely incompatible with one another. There was no way to have all five satisfied. This sort of explains, for example, why in a primary, it seems that most voters end up kind of unhappy with the choice that is often nominated.
Yeah, if you have five candidates and one does not overwhelmingly win,
right,
then a majority of voters are likely to be upset because their chosen candidate did not win.
Right. So you can actually have somebody garner the most votes by any particular scheme and still not sort of satisfy some sense of fairness with the vote.
Or at least some sense of satisfaction.
Right. So that comes up in these kinds of paradoxes. This week's puzzle, I guess, is sort of along these lines. So here we had this sucker bet that involved four groups of six cards, and on average, each group would beat the previous group. So here's this week's puzzle, is to come up with an arrangement of take the cards ace through nine. Aces are low.
Aces are low.
So nine cards, and arrange them into three groups so that group two usually, at least more than half the time, will beat group one if you pick a card at random from each.
So we have ace, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. We have 10 cards.
No, we have nine cards.
Ace through nine. And so it's going to be three piles of three.
And you pick a card from random from each, and you want, on average, pile two to beat pile one, pile three to beat pile two, and pile one to beat pile three.
Okay. So then if you are the person setting this up, you know that, okay, if that person picked from pile two, I'm going to pick from pile three. If that person picked from pile three, I'm going to go to pile one.
That's right. You won't win every time, but we'll make enough money to...
Well, profit margin is going to be good for you.
Right.
Okay. So give us the what three cards should be in each three piles.
That's right.
All right. I'm Goodman Strauss. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
I'm a math professor at the University of Arkansas. Joins us every Sunday on Sunday, Ozarks at Large.